chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Rest make heaven in the middle of it. Rest make heaven in the middle. We are rest make heaven.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. I'm going to be covering the impeachment, you could say, hearings that were held by Adam Schiff this week. But we're going to start off here with this first clip with Glenn Beck. We have on our site embedded in there his full, you could say, chalkboard on the Ukraine situation. And you've got to go in there and then blow it up on full screen and look at what he has on the chalkboard. He's got it down pat. But we're just going to play a small clip of that. But come to our site, thesecrettruth.com, to see his full presentations. Here we go with just a small clip here from Glenn Beck. I want to add in here that when Glenn Beck is speaking, he's putting up on the chalkboard certain photographs with names. The ambassador he's speaking about in this clip is Yovanovitch, and she was put in there by the Obama administration. And she went in there to keep the attorney generals from prosecuting and certain individuals in the Ukraine that could be tied back to the Democratic Party and to the Obama administration. But that's what he means when he says that they brought in this new ambassador. I think she just testified recently. Yes, she did. And, she's not what she's pretends to be. So this is, listen to this with Glenn Beck.
Okay, so that brings me now to the Black Ledger. Remember we were talking about the Black Ledger here, Trump opposition research, and she's like, hey, I got a guy named Paul Manafort. Forget Tony Podesta and Tad Devine and all of that. I got this guy, Manafort. So the Black Ledger on Manafort was released. And you're going to love this. Now, only in the end will you understand. Still at the beginning of this story, but it has a great ending. So the Black Ledger was released by Ukraine's Anti-Corruption Bureau, both occurring directly in the heat of the U.S. election. Now, the Black Ledger refers to financial records that were kept by this guy, the former Ukrainian president. He used this for the under-table payments. Now, remember, he's working to get him reelected. And so are these two. So another person that is involved in this is a Ukrainian parliamentary member named Leshenko. Okay. And he is also working. Remember the guy who's running the anti-corruption thing? These are the two that put the Black Ledger together. All right. These two signed a memorandum of understanding with the FBI just months prior. They jointly released pages in the letter that showed illegal payments were given to Paul Manafort. Now, this is kind of crazy because on the same day that these guys are nailed, just within days, if not hours, of this coming out and Paul Manafort going to jail, dude, Tony Podesta, who was doing the same thing with the same people in the Black Ledger, he just decides to close his shop. This is one of the biggest firms for lobbying in the United States of America. He's Tony Podesta is John Podesta's brother. All those Clinton, the Clinton connections and everything. Did I lose my? There it is. All of those things Nobody paid attention. He just decides to retire and close his shop. Wow. And nobody questions that. Nobody thinks it's weird. The guy working on the same thing that he gets busted for by these guys, he closes shop the same time. Wow, I'd have a question or two if I were in the media, but I'm not really. Now, some have questioned whether the ledger is even authentic. I'm not going to do that. Whether it was forged or not doesn't change the fact that Manafort had been a target of the DNC and they had been after him with Chalupa for months. The Ukrainian embassy was working with the DNC to get this information. And now, in an absolute surprise, during the U.S. election, the Ukrainian government decides with the anti-corruption guy who's in bed with all of these people that they're going to release that bombshell out of nowhere. Whether the ledger is legit or not doesn't matter. I mean, it matters to Paul Manafort, but it doesn't really matter in this story. The Ukrainian government did this for political reasons to sink Donald Trump's campaign. There is absolutely no question about it. Y'all caught up? Is that my head swimming? Because remember, the press will say, nothing to see here. All of this is fact. All of this is backed up with solid reporting, with actual documents. No conspiracy here. These are the documents. But something else happens, okay? At the same time the Black Ledger comes out, Barack Obama decides to announce that there's a new ambassador in town, a new sheriff, and she's going to clean up this town, I'll tell you that right now. She decides to do a couple of things, okay? Lysenko, remember, he's the guy who replaced the corrupt guy? He's actually now sworn in. He's been a temporary guy. But he's now sworn in as the guy we all trust. Except there's a problem, okay? Because he still wants to investigate the missing money. So the new ambassador comes in and she calls Lysenko in for a meeting. And she says, look, there's some people that you just can't prosecute, okay? You can't prosecute people. You can't. Well, we don't know the names of the people. They were unnamed Ukrainians. But also, you can't prosecute or look into anything here who's the vice president's son works for, and John Kerry's son is involved. And you also can't prosecute these people. Why? $1.8 billion, gone. Millions of dollars, gone. Wait, what? This is the U.S. ambassador, the brand new one? She comes in, the first thing she does is call him in and says, you have a hard line. None of this. And there's some people, too, we don't know who they are, some people, too, that you also can't prosecute, and they're Ukrainian citizens. Wow. Oh. She also does one more thing. Late 2016, she says, no visas for you, because he still has prosecutors looking into all of these things. And he just wants to get to the DOJ and our attorney general. So they pack up all of their briefcases with all kinds of papers, and they come up with a few things that they just want to talk to the DOJ and the U.S. Attorney General, because remember, they're partners. These guys are partners with the FBI, wedding bells. So we should be able to communicate, right? She says no. No visas for you. No soup for you. And it was really nothing important. There were about five or six things that they wanted to cover. They wanted to expose that the DNC and Ukrainian officials were gathering dirt on Trump. They wanted to talk about the misappropriation of $7 billion of your money. They had Ukrainian officials admitting to influencing the U.S. election. They had records showing Burisma sending $3 million to Hunter Biden. They had Biden pressuring Ukraine to fire Shokin, because we remember, well, that damn Donald Trump, he pressured another government. They didn't care about this one apparently either. And U.S. officials interfered in the prosecution of cases in the Ukraine. This guy wanted his people to bring these things to our DOJ and our Justice Department, and Barack Obama said, no. Well, he didn't. She did, by not giving any visas. No soup for you. Now, the next big day. First big day, opportunity. Did they have the opportunity to corrupt things? Did they have the opportunity to investigate and to embezzle money and to wash their hands of that money? Did they have that opportunity? Yes, because of this date, they got involved. This date was pretty important, but this date in November changed everything. This is the second most important day in this timeline, the day Trump wins elections. Because nobody thought that was going to happen. These people had all played their hand that Hillary Clinton was going to win. Now Trump wins. Uh-oh. What do we do? Well, I'll show you what they did. In July of 2017, 2 years ago, the media had the opportunity to begin looking into democratic corruption in Ukraine when the story was dropped directly at their feet. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she said during an off-camera briefing on July 12, 2017, these words. Listen.
I think if there's been any evidence of collusion in 2016 that's come out at all or been discussed, that's actually happened, it would be between the DNC and the Ukrainian government. I don't often quote the New York Times, but even one of their reporters tweeted earlier today that why this example provides evidence of collusion, quote, cooperation was between DNC officials and officials from the Ukrainian government, not just some associate. Ukrainian actions to coordinate with the DNC was actually successful, unlike anything shown by Don Jr.'s emails. Information passed to the DNC from the Ukrainian government directly targeted members of the Trump campaign in an attempt to undermine it. And that was just Ukraine.
Okay. So the incoming White House press secretary alleges that the DNC was colluding with the government of Ukraine. Not only that, but together they specifically targeted people within the Trump campaign during an election. While this sounds like a scandal that everyone should be worried about or looking at, no, this is about Joe Biden and Trump's phone call. Now, if the media had any shred of credibility at all, you would expect this comment to kick off at least one follow-up question. I mean, I'd be knocking people over to get to the microphone and say, excuse me, what's this all about? I mean, it would be the first question, right? Following a bombshell comment like that, I got to prove it or disprove it. Tax increases on upper income investment earners. How much do the CEOs of healthcare industry, how much do they make? Because that was the follow-up question. Yeah, they didn't even recognize. Well, the first person didn't. But the second person, it was about Flynn and Kushner and Sessions and Don Jr.'s Russia contacts. So they seemed to miss that. I don't know. Selective hearing, perhaps. I have that with my wife sometimes. I have to admit it. Maybe they thought Sarah Huckabee Sanders was their wife. Who knows? The media was hand-delivered an insane story, gift-wrapped in a nice little Tiffany's box. Boom. Out. All they could think about was ask about tax increases and then back to Russia. And the media wonders why Trump is losing his mind every time they ask him a question.
Coming up next is an interview by Jesse Waters with John Solomon about new information he has out that proved that there was lobbying going on at a top level at the State Department. And this is very interesting. I'm putting this in here right now because it's directly related to the Glenn Beck timeline. So here we go now, Jesse Waters and John Solomon.
the Biden family and Ukraine. John Solomon joins me now. His team filed Freedom of Information Act requests and found some memos that changed the entire story from the Biden camp. All right, John, what have you found?
Well, it's pretty clear that Hunter Biden, his business partner Devin Archer, and their legal lobbying team in America for the company Burisma, a Ukrainian-owned company, had VIP access to the top of the State Department. Hunter Biden talks to Tony Blinken, the deputy secretary, on a couple occasions. That's very significant. Blinken is the closest national security advisor Joe Biden had during his time in the White House.
Hunter Biden himself talked
directly to
John Kerry's guy?
Yes, the deputy secretary. And before he was John Kerry's guy, he was Joe Biden's guy.
Wow.
A very important, significant contact. Then Devin Archer, his fellow Burisma board member, was
right.
talking to John Kerry directly. But the most significant contact occurs in late February of 2016. That's when Burisma's legal team, an American legal team brought in to help this Ukrainian gas company try to overcome these corruption allegations. They go to the State Department, to the number three official, Undersecretary Novotelli, and they specifically demand that the State Department help end these corruption allegations against Burisma. And when they do it, they invoke Hunter Biden's name. They say, you need to help us because Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son,
there it is
on the board.
I mean, and that's why you put Hunter Biden on the board.
That's exactly
why you
right.
do it.
That's
so it's
right.
like a protection deal. All right. So this was not known before.
And
this was never discussed. And now
right.
we know from the memos that you've uncovered, this has been documented, that this Ukraine company, Burisma Natural Gas,
a
lot
right.
of corrupt allegations over there,
right.
owned by Russian oligarch, they lobbied the Obama administration hard to
they
stop
did.
The corruption investigations into them inside Ukraine. Is that what we have?
100%. And they played the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden card in doing so. And it's very important to understand what precipitated this approach. February 2016, beginning of the Democratic primaries, Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump being set up for the fall election. All of a sudden, the Ukrainian prosecutor Shokin raids the home of Hunter Biden's boss, the owner of Burisma Holdings, a guy named Zolchesky, that Ukrainian oligarch you just mentioned. They raid that home. They take the man's possessions and his goods and his documents, his favorite luxury car. In early February 16, after 2 years of quiet, there's panic inside Burisma that maybe Hunter Biden isn't buying us the protection that we had because the Ukrainians are closing in on the boss. And it is that event that precipitates the legal team going to the State Department saying, you got to help us get rid of these corruption allegations. A very important time sequence
yes.
for people to understand.
That timeline's critical. So the prosecutor raids the home of the owner of Burisma.
Right.
Panic sets in. Burisma
right.
hires a lobbying team to lobby hard the Obama administration. Get rid of this prosecution. Get rid of these corruption allegations.
Right.
And then the next thing that happens, Joe Biden goes over there and
right.
says, fire the prosecutor. Well, you know what? We have the tape. Let's play
yeah.
the tape.
We're not going to give you $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a got fired.
I mean, when you see the whole thing come into perspective, it
yeah.
changes the entire Biden defense. 30 seconds.
It does. And let me just tell you one other thing. The day that that prosecutor was fired, that same American legal team that had been lobbying the State Department, they show up in Ukraine asking to meet the replacement prosecutor right away. Let's make this thing go away. These events were tied together in ways that Joe Biden has not been willing to admit.
All right. John Solomon, thank you for your reportage.
Thank you.
John Solomon is getting so much pressure now because he's getting closer and closer. And Yovanovitch, he took an interest in her at least a year or two ago in researching her actions. And that coupled with what Glenn Beck said earlier in this program are indictments of what they were up to. And this is with proof. Glenn Beck says he has the documents on his show. So Here we go with John Solomon being interviewed by Marie Bartiromo, and he says he's going to file some lawsuits to defend himself. This is a stand-up guy, John Solomon. But here he goes with the interview with Marie Bartiromo.
Before you go, you've obviously been reporting incredibly on this story for 3 years now, and you're doing the same on Ukraine. Now you're being attacked on the left. We talked earlier that there have been thousands of stories written about you just in the last couple of weeks trying to poke holes in your reporting. You say you're fighting back.
I am. Listen, every fact in every one of the columns I wrote from The Hill was vetted by The Hill, by their lawyers, and to this day, every fact remains in public confirmed. Adam Schiff's own witnesses confirm all three of the narratives of my columns. Yes, the Pentagon, State Department embassy in Kiev was pressuring Ukrainian authorities to drop certain cases. Yes, there were some concerns about Hunter Biden and a conflict of interest at Burisma. And yes, there was some evidence that Ukrainian government officials were trying to stick their fingers in our 2016 election. All three of my stories are accurate. Unfortunately, those who attack them are engaging in unethical, undemocratic, and dishonest reporting when they don't look at the facts in my stories and just say, trust us, they're wrong. People should look at the facts. Those facts stand the test of time.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to turn around and sue them?
I am in consultation with some lawyers right now about bringing some targeted legal action, not because I want to make any money, but because I want to correct the public record for the American people. I want them to see that my facts can stand up in the court of law.
John, let me ask you this real quick before you go. How far up the ladder do you believe this entrapment went in the Obama administration?
Well, listen, most counterintelligence investigations are always briefed to the president. I would love to see the PDBs of President Obama be released, anything having to do with Russia going back to the summer of 2015. I believe that's the most important time frame to begin looking at. It's impossible that John Brennan didn't know about most of the key activities. And it's obviously that the attorney general would have to know working with the FBI. So far more senior officials than the names we've been talking about. We keep talking about Strzok and Page and Priestap. There's another layer here that has escaped scrutiny and questioning.
Yeah.
Hopefully after the IG report comes out, we'll get some of those answers.
All right, John. Great to see you this morning. Thanks so much. John
Thank
Solomon.
You, Maria.
We'll be right back.
John Solomon is saying that this could reach to up the ladder all the way to the president, to Obama, that he was involved in some of these shenanigans. And also he mentioned the name John Brennan. During the Obama administration, John Brennan was caught spying on senators. Wiretapping them, so to speak, you know, when he was the CIA director. And they tapped him on the back of the hand. I mean, this is getting so ridiculously scandalous. Well, next, we've got an interview with Giuliani. And he was interviewed and asked point blank, what's going on with this attack on you, Rudy Giuliani? And he hits back. He says he has information. He's trying to bring some of those witnesses from the Ukraine to testify in U.S. courts. So here we go with Rudy Giuliani's interview.
Exclusive Rudy Giuliani. Mr. Mayo, welcome. Thanks for coming on.
Nice to be with you, Ed.
So Republican Lindsey Graham, as you know, chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee. He's now opened this investigation on Burisma and Hunter Biden, maybe Joe Biden, the former vice president. I'm sure that's music to your ears. You've been talking about this for a long time. You've just written a letter to Lindsey Graham. I've got it here, asking that he help you get three Ukrainians who want visas to come to America to testify about Burisma. What would they say about Burisma and Hunter Biden?
Well, you know, it's real simple. This case is a this case has been real simple from the day that Joe Biden confessed to committing bribery back in January of 2018, and the Council on Foreign Relations didn't note anything about it, although he said precisely what was attributed to President Trump a year and a half later that caused all sorts of they'll prove that he committed bribery. The crime of bribery is offering something of value to a public official for official action. Okay, here's what Joe Biden says he did. He offered him a $1 billion loan guarantee. He threatened him with a $1 billion loan guarantee.
Unless the
prosecutor signed. And in return for that, so that's part one of bribery. Part two is he got the president of the Ukraine to fire the prosecutor.
Right.
But somnolent Council on Foreign Relations didn't find anything wrong with that. Although a year and a half later, when the false charge was put out that the president of the United States threatened Zelensky with not getting money in order to investigate Biden. Within a minute, there were headlines in the New York Times, the Washington Post, calls for impeachment. It's the same thing, Ed.
Okay, on that point, Mr. Mayor.
Except for the double standard that we have that's corrupting us.
Okay, so pardon me. The former vice president, you know, has insisted it wasn't bribery, that the prosecutor he wanted fired was not investigating corruption enough. That's his case. And when presented with the idea that Lindsey Graham is now investigating all this, here's what the former vice president told CNN. I'll let you react.
He's got a real tough road for reelection. Trump is now essentially holding power over him that even the Ukrainians wouldn't yield to. Lindsey is about to go down in a way that I think he's going to regret his whole life.
Your reaction?
Sounds like a poor imitation of The Godfather. I mean, this is the guy who sent out a decree that they should keep me off television. Every other week he wants to get into a fist fight with the president. When he's asked about all of these conflicts and all this money made by his family selling his office, he says, I don't know my family's business. He says it so often, he's starting to sound like Kate Corleone in The Godfather. I mean, the reality is you'd have to be a fool to think he didn't know that his son was under investigation.
Okay, so he says
and
there's
also,
no...
And if Joe point. Biden, I don't care what he said, he's lying.
Okay.
He's been lying all his life. The guy's been a corrupt politician since the brother got phony loans when he was in the Senate. Every place that Joe Biden was appointed by Obama, the Biden family came away with millions.
Okay, you've talked about
and nobody
that. Romania,
wants to look at it
China.
Because the Washington press corps.
Okay, well we're talking about it now. Okay, but so I want to ask you then. I talked about your letter. You want three Ukrainians to come to America and testify.
Four
of them now. Okay, in the letter I saw three. So. By the same push of transparency, are you willing to have Lev Parnas, your former associate, who's now been indicted, come and either testify to Adam Schiff or Lindsey Graham in the interest of fairness?
It's up to him. I can't tell him to do it. I don't represent him. As far as I'm concerned, he could testify to everything he did, and it was perfectly appropriate, perfectly normal. He has said a few things lately that are completely untrue, provably untrue. So I don't know what he's doing. I mean, he claims that we had a meeting with the president at the Hanukkah party in December of 2018. Somebody should remind Lev that there were five witnesses, including his good friend, Igor Fruman, who all say categorically untrue, provable by records. He's trying to make himself very important. We never had that meeting with the president. He just made it up.
So you never met with the president, Lev Parnas, at that Hanukkah party. You're saying you never met?
What I did was I introduced the two of them to the president. They took a one-minute picture. They walked away. And what he said was we had a private, long meeting in which the president instructed him to do things. False, untrue, provable by the testimony of five witnesses.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, overnight.
So if he wants to do that, he could make himself into another Michael Cohen. I don't know what's going on. His lawyer makes these comments that are not only untrue, they're provably untrue with the testimony of witnesses and documents. He's getting very poor counsel.
Okay.
I feel sorry for him.
You feel sorry for Lev Parnas. Now, overnight, CNN reported a news story about Lev Parnas. I want to quickly ask this and we'll move on to other subjects.
Sure.
Which is that Parnas is claiming that an ex-Ukrainian official met with Devin Nunes, the Republican who's the top Republican on the Intel Committee, you know well, met with this former Ukrainian prosecutor, General Viktor Shokin, in Vienna, and that this happened last December. Do you know anything about that meeting? Devin Nunes is denying it. Did Devin Nunes meet with him?
Poor Lev. I don't know what he's doing to himself. I think, once again, that's going to be shown to be provably untrue. I do not believe that Devin Nunes met with Shokin. This is the first I would have heard of that. I think I would have heard of it if it happened. It was before he was actually doing anything for me. That wasn't really until late December, early January. I don't know why he wants to do this. He didn't do anything wrong. I used him to find people in Ukraine because I couldn't trust anyone else. The FBI was closed off to me because the witnesses didn't trust the FBI. They had brought their case to the Justice Department and had been turned away and were worried about the Justice Department. If I went with some other people, it would have been leaked. So they helped me find people, and as I've said, they did a good job.
Okay,
but they weren't investigators, and they weren't James Bond, and they didn't have personal communications with the president. Igor Fruman would testify to that, and for some reason, Lev has got himself into a grandiose thing, or maybe his lawyer. His lawyer is saying these things. why a lawyer says things.
Is he saying that, you think, to get off the hook because he's been indicted?
But he's not going to get off the hook by lying.
Okay.
Devin Nunes says he didn't meet with Shokin. I have no reason to believe that he did. In fact, if he did, there would have been nothing wrong with it.
Okay.
He should have met with Shokin. Shokin had relevant evidence of massive corruption in the Ukraine that was being covered up by the ambassador, being covered up by the State Department.
Yeah.
And not being investigated by the FBI or the Justice Department.
Okay, real quick.
He had every right to talk to him. In fact, it would have been his duty to talk. So I have no idea why this lawyer is creating these additional problems for Lev. They're not problems for me because there's so many witnesses and documents to prove he's lying. That's why I hate to see...
Sure.
I do this for a living,
right.
And I hate to see a lawyer do this to somebody.
Okay, you said it's not going to hurt you. Are you afraid, Mr. Mayor, that you could be indicted?
Oh, wow. How long have you known me, Ed?
I've known you several years.
You think I'm afraid?
I don't know.
You think I get afraid?
Well,
I did the right thing. I represented my client in a very, very effective way. I was so effective that I've discovered a pattern of corruption that the Washington Press has been covering up for 3 or 4 years. You should have jumped all over this in 2015 when this awful conflict was mentioned.
Sure.
And it was hidden and suppressed by the Washington Press.
But you know
The reality is I'm embarrassing you because you didn't do your job. And I'm also going to bring out a pay-for-play scheme in the Obama administration that will be devastating to the Democrat Party.
Okay.
I expected the moment I heard Biden's name.
Sure.
I told my colleagues they're going to try to kill me because they're going to kill the messenger. But damn it, the mafia couldn't kill me.
Right.
Your colleagues are not going to kill me.
Okay. So the Wall Street Journal, though, has reported that you were going to personally profit from a natural gas pipeline in Ukraine, and that's being investigated. You're laughing it off. Were you going to
benefit? I'm laughing it off because it's not true.
Okay.
It is completely false. I have no financial interest in the Ukraine. I'm not going to financially profit from anything that I know of in the Ukraine. If they know of it, I would probably have to disclose it to my hopefully soon-to-be ex-wife because she would get half of it. So, look, you know, if I have no business interest in Ukraine.
Sure.
It is untrue. It is false. It isn't the first time the Wall Street Journal has printed false information. I can't keep up with the amount of false information printed about me.
So let's get to some facts.
I am telling you, if I were representing a terrorist and they were doing this to me because they didn't like my client, all you guys would be promoting me as a hero and a victim of what is, in fact, a concerted effort by the press to destroy me.
Mr. Mayor, I'm not painting you as a villain. Okay, I'm not painting you as a villain or a hero. We're just asking you the question.
You're not going to get away with it. Let me make clear.
Yeah, real quick.
I have no business interest in the Ukraine.
Okay. So here's
the work I did in the Ukraine goes back several years.
Okay.
It's service work. I've been paid for it.
All right.
I was paid a reasonable amount. I got great praise for the work there. And I also note something else.
Yeah.
It was Zelensky who brought me up with President Trump, not President Trump.
Okay.
And that's because of my reputation Ukraine.
Have you talked to President Trump in the last week or two? Have you met with him? Are you still his counsel?
I do not discuss my conversations with my client. You can assume that I talk to him early and often.
Yeah.
And have a very, very good relationship with him. And all of these comments, which are totally insulting.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen things written like he's going to throw me under the bus.
Right.
When they say that, I say he isn't, but I have insurance.
I mean, okay.
It's ridiculous. We are very good friends. He knows what I did was in order to defend him, not to dig up dirt on Biden. This goes back a year ago before Biden hadn't even decided to run for president.
Mm-hmm.
My thought when I began investigating this was to get evidence that will help my client prove that the charges against him are untrue. And they do prove it. In fact, they're ultimately going to prove that this was a conspiracy to frame him in which high-level Democrats participated, including some people in the White House.
So let's talk about
the
White House.
Hard to prove that. Hard to get that out in this city where you got about a 90% hate Trump, vicious group of people who are investigating, you know, what I did in high school.
Sure. Okay, John Bolton said you were a hand grenade, and he didn't want to be part of any drug deal that you and others...
First of all, he didn't say the drug deal about me. Ed, get your facts straight.
Well, he said drug deal about people inside the White House, and he called you a hand grenade.
He said it about Sondland and Mick.
And Mick
Mulvaney. He didn't say the drug deal about... But equally ridiculous comment. First of all, for John to say, I'm a hand grenade, well, then he's an atomic bomb. I mean, I know John for years, and he's been a friend of mine. I have no idea why he's saying this. John has no understanding of my role as a defense lawyer. I didn't go tell the White House what I was doing as a defense lawyer. I did it privately. What I did there had nothing to do with his foreign policy, good or bad. I didn't get involved in foreign policy. I was involved in gathering very, very significant evidence to exculpate my client.
Yeah.
And when I found the corruption that was being ignored by this corrupt press that we have, I became outraged. Remember, I spent my early career prosecuting hundreds of corruption cases against United States senators, commissioners, law enforcement people, Republicans, Democrats. I despise corrupt public officials.
So
that's why I was so successful in prosecuting them.
So what do you want to happen then? In your letter where we started with Lindsey Graham, you want these Ukrainians to come to America, you want to get visas. But what do you want, what's the key question you want answered about Hunter Biden and Burisma?
I want all the facts to come out. I want people to see the documents of the money laundered $3 million transaction that went to Hunter Biden, which in and of itself is the crime of money laundering. I've got the documents in my file. Nobody wants to look at them because everybody's covering up for them. They say that the charges were debunked. Mm-hmm. There's never been an investigation. Complete lie. They say there's no evidence of criminality. How can you say there's no evidence of criminality and Shokin has an affidavit saying it was bribery? You can say Shokin's not telling the truth, but you can't lie like the Washington Post does and say there's no evidence of criminality. There's Shokin. There's Kulyuk. There's Kodonitsky. There's three conversations between Biden and Poroshenko. Three of them.
Who was the president at the time? Yeah, right before Burisma got investigated.
Right before Biden went to the Ukraine to get the guy fired.
All right.
Well, let's get the transcripts of those three conversations. I've had some leaked information that came through the press about what those conversations are about. And I'm willing to make, I won't bet.
Yeah.
That's an illegal. But I'm willing to tell you, Joe Biden's not going to like those conversations.
Okay.
And if he wants you to believe that he didn't know about his son's business in the Ukraine, that can be disproven 10 ways.
Okay,
and
Mr.
that's
Mayor?
Called a false exculpatory statement. If Joe Biden is not prosecuted for these crimes, then nobody in America should ever be prosecuted for bribery.
Mr. Mayor, we appreciate you giving us so much time today, answering tough questions.
It's an outrage. It's an outrage, the kind of protection that he gets. And the part that I really find disturbing is because the media puts on all of this vicious attack on you if you go after one of their protected people, people in law enforcement are afraid to go after
him. All right. Mr. Mayor, thanks for coming in. Happy Thanksgiving. Appreciate
you
coming
in. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
You see how outrageous this thing is getting? What's coming up next is Nunes. During the hearings this week, he quizzes Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. And Vindman's got this Security Council, National Security Council post. And he said that he listened to he was actually listening to them, and it upset him. And then he had to counsel with a couple of other people. Well, when he says this, then Nunes said, well, who were those people? And then all of a sudden, who interrupts in there and stops the questioning is Adam Schiff, because they're talking about him revealing the name of the whistleblower. But nobody is admitting that they know who the whistleblower was, who was interviewed by the staff of Adam Schiff before these hearings began. So let's listen to what Nunes has to say here. This is very, very raucous and exciting. And insightful, too. Here we go now.
Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, did you discuss the July 25th phone call with anyone outside the White House on July 25th or the 26th? And if so, with whom?
Yes, I did. My core function is to coordinate U.S. government policy, interagency policy, and I spoke to two individuals with regards to providing some sort of readout of the call.
Two individuals that were not in the White House.
Not in the White House, cleared U.S. government officials with appropriate need to know.
And what agencies were these officials with?
Department of State, Department of State Deputy Assistant Secretary George Kent, who is responsible for the portfolio Eastern Europe, including Ukraine, and a individual from the office of an individual in the intelligence community.
As you know, the intelligence community has 17 different agencies. What agency was this individual from?
If I could interject here, we don't want to use these proceedings.
It's our time,
I know,
Mr. Chair.
But we need to protect the whistleblower.
Please stop.
I want to make sure that there's no effort to out the whistleblower through the use of these proceedings. If the witness has a good faith belief that this may reveal the identity of the whistleblower, that is not the purpose that we are here for, and I want to advise the witness accordingly.
Mr. Vindman, you testified in your deposition that you did not know the whistleblower.
Ranking member, it's Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, please.
Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, you testified in the deposition that you did not know who the whistleblower was or is.
I do not know who the whistleblower is. That is.
Well, how is it possible for you to name these people and then out the whistleblower?
Per the advice of my counsel, I've been advised not to answer specific questions about members of the intelligence community.
Are you aware that this is the intelligence committee that's conducting an impeachment hearing?
Of course I am.
Wouldn't the appropriate place for you to come to testify would be the intelligence committee about someone within the intelligence community?
Ranking member, per the advice of my counsel and the instructions from the chairman, I've been advised not to provide any specifics on who I've spoken to with inside the intelligence community. What I can offer is that these were properly cleared individuals, or was a properly cleared individual with a need to know.
Well, this is, you can plead the fifth, but you're here to answer questions, and you're here under subpoena. So you can either answer the question or you can plead the fifth.
On behalf of my client, we are following the rule of the committee, the rule of the chair with regard to this issue, and this does not call for an answer that is invoking the fifth or any theoretical issue like that. We're following the ruling of the chair.
Counselor, what ruling is that?
If I could interject, counsel is correct. Whistleblower has the right, statutory right to anonymity. These proceedings will not be used to out the whistleblower.
And I've advised my client accordingly, and he's going to follow the ruling of the chair. If there's a alternative or you want to work something out with the chair, that's up to you, Mr. Nunes.
Well, we've attempted to subpoena the whistleblower to sit for a deposition. The chair has tabled that motion and then has been unwilling to recognize those motions over the last few days of this impeachment inquisition process. Well, that I'll go to Mr. Castro.
See, they had to try to get a ruling from the chair, which is Adam Schiff, and he said, no, he doesn't have to. That Lieutenant Colonel Vindman doesn't have to answer that question that Nunes posed to him. But he brought out, in this exchange, it brought out that, yes, Vindman actually disclosed his, information about the call that he had overheard, that he was in on. He didn't overhear it. He actually was in on the call, and he related that to the whistleblower. But he wouldn't admit that in cross-examination by Representative Nunes. And then Adam Schiff came in there and cut him off. Oh, my God, this is getting ridiculous, isn't it? Next up is going to be Victor Davis Hanson, and he's going to give us sort of an overall view of what this thing is all about with Adam Schiff and some of the legal overhaul. He's just, you can't beat Victor Davis Hanson. Here he goes now with this interview.
Victor Davis Hanson is a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution and the author of many books, most recently, The Case for Trump. He joins us tonight. Professor, thanks so much for coming on. So,
thank you.
We have these numbers. It's pretty clear that impeachment, whatever you think of the merits of the case, has been a failure from a public relations perspective. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, it only took him 4 days to flip all the polls against the Democrats. And
I don't know why he dropped that con, Tucker. He had a perfect con. He had everybody locked in the basement, and nobody could hear anything, and he could selectively leak the opening statements, and there would be no cross-examination. Right. And we all knew that to see Adam Schiff and to hear him is not to like him. And he drove all of the polls on Trump down and impeachment up. And then he went public, and it turned out what we all expected, that we wouldn't want to hear this guy or look at him, and that the Republican people on the House Intelligence Committee were brilliant, and it was true. They had been done brilliant cross-examinations that nobody was learning about. Now we learned about them. And it was all hearsay, so in the end they were just giving sermons about it, why hearsay is admissible. And then if you put it, Tucker, in the larger context, now what do? They go to Gerald Nadler, who was considered the C team, and Adam Schiff hijacked it from him because he was supposed to be their superstar. And now he's going to do what? Replay this television drama again and drive it all the way down to some mystical red line where when Nancy Pelosi sees that the polls are 35% for impeachment and Trump is up to 45, 46, I don't know what she's going to do. Unless they can, and the only thing I can think of is I don't think they're going to just censor him. I think they're going to vote for impeachment, but they have to count on either new evidence. But Robert Mueller did 22 months and $35 million and found nothing. Or maybe they think they can get a big marquee witness like John Bolton and flip him and he's going to go in there and have a confessional. I don't think that's too likely. And then when we look at the long-term strategic landscape, Tucker, somebody is leaking from the IG already. We've heard about this alteration of a document by an FBI lawyer. And you can see this is just the beginning. There's going to be 1,000 cuts that are going to bleed the Democrats. And then that's not counting John Durham that's hovering around. And then we have what? We have 2% of the American people watching the debate. Do they really believe that we're going to watch 10 hours of impeachment hearings, go in, scarf some food, and go out for a two-hour debate, watch with your friends? It didn't work. And so
no, it's,
there's 40 members of the House that are sort of iffy about the whole thing because they're in Trump-plus districts and they won on issues other than impeachment. And so the long-term conditions are not very good for them. And so I guess what they're counting on is that the Senate might play by the Marcus of Queensbury rules like Mitt Romney and not tit-for-tat do what Adam Schiff did. I doubt that. I think they're going to bring in Adam Schiff. They're going to bring in the whistleblower. They're going to bring in Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, and he's got some real liabilities given his testimony in answer to Devin Nunes. And I don't think it's going to work, and it's going to rebound. And I think the Democratic candidates think that Schiff and Nadler and all of them have sucked out the oxygen of their campaigns.
I don't think Vindman helps, that's for certain. Professor, thanks so much for your analysis of that. I think you're right. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Next, we have Weinstrup clashing with Fiona Hill. And there were things put out here that were just obviously incorrect. And Weinstrup, he corrects a few things. So here we go with him and Fiona Hill.
I refuse to be part of an effort to legitimize an alternate narrative that the Ukrainian government is a U.S. adversary and that Ukraine, not Russia, attacked us in 2016.
Certain Ukrainians did work against candidate Trump, some with the DNC. And if that's debunked, why is it Mr. Schiff has denied DNC operative Alexandra Chalupa from testifying to come forward and debunk it?
Former National Security Council official Fiona Hill clashing with our next guest after dismissing that Ukraine interfered in the 2016 election. Here with more House Intelligence Committee member, Ohio Congressman Brad Winstrom. Congressman, did you ever get an answer to that?
Well, not directly, because she got to say some things at the end. Actually, about much of what I said, she surprised me because she said that I said things very eloquently, and I finished with saying that it's time for this Democrat-led, publicly announced coup to come to an end. So I never got a direct answer, but I do think she understood that this is a narrative that she's heard from Adam Schiff. This is not coming from us. We did the report. Devin Nunes held up our report. But what we are saying is that Ukrainians did too. More than one one country can try and interfere in our elections. And we were just making that point. And I think she got it at the end of the day.
Congressman, she wrote a great book on Vladimir Putin. No one doubts her intellect. I don't really think her see there with a political agenda. So no one wants to put her down at all. But in the big picture, right, she came out and accused you guys of denying that Russia, or the House Republican, that Russia interfered in our elections. You guys never said that. You know Russia did.
We never said that. No, we never said that, but Adam Schiff has said it over and over and over again. And if you look at her narrative in that, in her opening statement, she said, it's come to my attention through these hearings that you, some people on this committee have denied that. Well, the only place she's heard it is from Adam Schiff, and that's just one more of the many things that he has done. When I first got on the Intel committee, three terms ago, I thought he was a decent guy, but we've just seen too many things happen over and over and over again where he is just playing this, and I think America's tired of it. But unfortunately, she is an expert. Don't get me wrong. I love her expertise, but she was misled on that, and I believe by Mr. Schiff.
So watching a lot of that, listening to a lot of it, 12, 16 hours over the last three, 4 days, over the last 2 weeks, they tried to get Will Hurd, a retiring, sometimes critic of the president, CIA agent. They didn't. According to his comments, didn't love Rudy Giuliani's work in the Ukraine, but not impeachable. Your thought?
Well, I thought that was very key. I thought that, you know, we know where Will stands on so many things, and that's fine. We all have varying opinions, but what we all agree is this is not an impeachable offense here, and at the end of the day, every allegation they've made, quid pro quo, bribery, extortion, nobody has any of that. It's very plain to see what they have been doing for the last 3 years, and it doesn't help their case right now when you look at what they have done for the first 2 years, 2.5 years, and now we have the reports that there's criminal charges coming out of these investigations involving the FBI. It just backs up what we've been saying for a long time. This is an orchestrated attempt to take down a duly elected president.
Lastly, I think America now knows how important it is for us to back the Ukraine. They are the block against Russia, and this seems to be, President Zelensky seems to be the right guy at the right time. And hopefully, yeah, or at least we're getting educated on that. And Fiona Hill pointed out how the Russians are manipulating us against each other, and hopefully we'll be mature enough to pull back soon. Congressman, thanks so much.
You got it. You got it. Thank you.
You got it.
We're going to end up this with Jim Jordan questioning Fiona Hill. And I mean, he lays out so much in just 5 minutes. That's all they have. Here we go with Jim Jordan. We're going to close out the program with that. But thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Hill, during your deposition, I ask you, was Christopher Steele's dossier a rabbit hole? Do you remember the answer you gave to that?
Yes,
question?
I thought it was a rabbit hole.
Yeah, and you also said a couple pages later in the deposition or in the transcript that I have here of your deposition that you thought he got played. Is that fair?
That is fair, yes.
I was struck by a number of things you said in your statement, a number of things I thought were right on the target. And one was on page 7. You said this, President Putin and the Russian security services weaponize our own political opposition research. And that is exactly what happened in 2016. Exactly what happened. You called it. You knew it. You saw it. The DNC hired Perkins Coie, who hired Fusion GPS, who hired Christopher Steele, who talked to Russians, who gave him a bunch of dirt, bunch of National Enquirer garbage that he compiled in a dossier, and our FBI used it. They used it as part of their investigation that they opened in July of 2016, where they spied on two American citizens associated with the presidential campaign. My guess is that's probably never happened in American history, and exactly what Dr. Hill talked about is what happened in 2016. Exactly what she talked about. And for 10 months, Jim Comey and his team did an investigation. And after 10 months, they had nothing. Because we deposed Mr. Comey. And he told us, after 10 months, we didn't have a thing. But that didn't matter. That didn't matter. We got the Mueller investigation. $32 million, 19 lawyers, 40 FBI agents, 500 search warrants, 2,800 subpoenas. And they came back this spring, and what'd they tell us? No collusion. No conspiracy, no coordination. But the guys on the other side don't care. They don't care. They're doing what Dr. Hill said a number of important things in her opening statement. They're doing exactly what Dr. Hill talked about. The impact of a successful 2016 Russian campaign remains evident today. Our nation is being torn apart. Torn apart. I've never seen it this divided. And this is not healthy. It is not healthy for our culture, our country, not healthy for our nation. But that's what these guys are doing. No conspiracy, no coordination, no collusion. But they don't care. Now this whole impeachment thing, as the witness said yesterday, without an announcement from Zelensky about an investigation, they weren't going to get a call with the president, they weren't going to get a meeting with the president, they weren't going to get aid from the United States. But guess what? Ukraine, they got the call, they got the meeting, and they got the money, and there was never an announcement of any type of investigation. This is, but they don't care. They're going to move forward. There's going to be some kind of report. They're going to send some, I assume, something to the Judiciary Committee, and the process is going to go forward, and there'll be a trial in the Senate, all based on some anonymous whistleblower who came forward with no firsthand knowledge, who's biased against the president, who worked with Joe Biden. Now all this. This is, Dr. Hill's right. She said it. We got to stop this. But they're not going to. And they're doing it all 11 and a half months before the next election. And I think maybe the most telling thing is what the Speaker of the House said Sunday. This is scary. Speaker of the House said Sunday. National Sunday morning TV show. She said the president is an imposter. The guy that 63 million people voted for who won an electoral college landslide. The Speaker of the House of Representatives called the President of the United States an imposter. Sad. It is sad what the country is going through. I wish it would stop, but unfortunately, I don't think it is. Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
That concludes our program. You can come in to thesecrettruth.com, and you'll be able to pick up that total, Glenn Beck. We have some differences. I have some differences with Glenn Beck at times over the years. And I don't accept his total philosophy or his view, totally. But he has done an extraordinarily good job on these chalkboards. And so I'm going to commend him on that. And I'm going to broadcast some of his clips. But you'll find his whole clip, embedded in our site, his chalkboard clip. And you come into thesecrettruth.com. Otherwise, these hearings this week were mainly extenuating evidence. It wasn't actually firsthand, gotcha, you know what I mean, type of evidence. And so there's no proof yet that the president has done any wrongdoing that would reach a level of impeachment. So, you know, we're seeing second, third, fourth hand people that are testifying. Well, there was this one call that was heard on one side of the conversation. You know what I mean? And he testified to that under cross examination. He couldn't remember very clearly that total phone call. And so there were problems in that. And so, we just have a collage here of differing rumors, innuendos. Adam Schiff keeps repeating things like they're fact, you know, from the chairman's position. He has denied the Republicans the witnesses that they wanted to testify before this committee. So he's done nothing but frustrate. And actually, if anyone's obstructing evidence or obstructing this investigation, it would have to be Adam Schiff. Thank you for listening to our program tonight. Good night. God bless everybody.